Live from Buffalo Creek. We're continuing our study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, specifically the fruit of the Spirit. And we're at the last aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, which is the subject of temperance. And so far we've defined what temperance is and proven, I believe, from the Scripture that it's more than just abstaining from drink or gluttony, but that it has reference to everything in life, to do things in moderation. Last week we looked at some keys to cultivating and maintaining this temperance. And the fact of the matter is, you've got to have sound judgment or you won't have this ability to practice the fruit of temperance. Now tonight, we're going to get more specific. So far we've dealt a lot in generalities. But tonight we're going to look at temperance of the mind and the heart. Now when we are speaking of the mind and the heart of man, I'm not talking about a physical brain or an organ that pumps blood. Okay? When the Bible talks about the mind and heart, it's talking about moral faculties. We're referring to your inner being that's composed of your desires, your affections, your motives. You know what a motive is, Gavin? It's why you do what you do. Your heart and mind would include your intellect. How you're able to receive, digest information, and your will. How you determine to walk and live each day. This is all encompassing. Temperance of the mind and heart. The heart is the seat of man's affections. And the mind determines your decisions and your course of action. So we're dealing with how to control your desires, how to control what you think about and process, and how you act upon your inner thought life. Okay? So therefore, the heart and the mind of man determines in a large part what he loves and what he does. And it's for this reason that the heart and mind are often used synonymously by the writers of Scripture to convey the true essence of the inner man, which in large part determines your outer conduct. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's his real being, as he thinks in his heart. Now when it's understood that the mind and heart of man and man work in concert to determine his outward conduct and his way of life, it becomes absolutely imperative that the Christian learn to control his thoughts and his desires through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a good passage, you can turn there if you like, in Proverbs chapter 4. It's a famous one about keeping the heart. And the wise man says, keep thy heart, verse 23, with all diligence. I mean, this is something you ought to be fully engaged in. keeping your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. What goes on inside determines in large part how you think and what you do. So he says, put away from thee a froward mouth. Notice, your heart and your mind have a lot to do with how you speak, what you say. And he says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. If your heart and mind are filled with lies and saturated with deceit, you're going to be a liar. You're going to tell lies. You're going to promote lies. He says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. He's talking about a focused life. Ponder the path of thy feet. Again, your heart determines where you go, how you live. Ponder the path of thy feet. And let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. It all starts, though, with keep thy heart. Keep your inner affections, desires, motives, will, intellect. Keep that with all diligence. Because out of that proceeds your entire way of life. Now these verses clearly establish an important principle that links the spiritual condition of the heart of man to his conduct. Unless a man guards his heart from defiling influences, he will not be able to obey the admonition regarding what he says. If your heart's, if you don't have your affections and desires under control, your mouth will not be under control. If your heart's not right, what you look at won't be right. How you conduct yourself won't be right. It's in our thought life that our emotions and our actions begin, and that sinful desires plant their roots and entice us to sin. The mind was made to rule over the body. And unless the ruler be well regulated, the subject cannot be. The battle, the real battle here, folks, is inside you. What you think about. What you love. What your desires are. What really makes you tick. And that's on the inside. The thoughts and affections of man are fed chiefly through what? Your thoughts and your affections. What you see with your eye and what you hear with your ears. What you think about in large part is determined by what you see and what you hear. What you read, what you watch, what you listen to will in large part determine what you think about most often and set your affections upon. Guarding our minds and hearts begins with guarding our eyes and ears from that which is wicked and impure. And we ought to go a step further and flee from anything that dishonors God and brings reproach upon the name of Christ. 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 through 11 says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now, here's the million-dollar question. Dear child of God, are you watching, reading, or listening to those things that you know are being used to draw you away from God and to entice you to sin? What you're taking in, how is it affecting your life? If so, you'll find that your mind will often be engaged in sinful thoughts. Your heart will soon be fixed upon sinful lusts, resulting in sinful behavior. It is a principle that I guarantee you is always in operation. What you think about, what you take in, affects everything in your life. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, warns of this cycle that is often vicious and deadly. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away to his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Jerry Bridges has a great little book called The Practice of Godliness. And he had some real practical advice and then issued a profound rebuke for Christians. He said this: we must not allow that which panders to sexual lust, greed, envy, and selfish ambition to enter into our minds. We should avoid television programs, magazine or newspaper articles, advertisements, and conversations that arouse such thoughts. We should not only avoid them, but to use Paul's words to Timothy, flee from all this. It is well worth noting that in both of his letters to Timothy, Paul felt it prudent to warn Timothy to flee temptation. Although Timothy was a godly leader, he was not exempt from the necessity of exercising self-control. Solomon said to guard. Paul said to flee. Both verbs convey a much stronger relation to temptation than most Christians practice. Instead of guarding the gates of our minds, we actually open them to the flood of ungodly material coming to us through television, newspapers, magazines, and the world's conversations that often surround us. Now, this book was written probably back in the 70s or the 80s, so he doesn't even deal with the internet, social media, or the swamp of Twitter. All that. How much are you allowing that to regulate your thought life? Instead of fleeing from temptation, we too often indulge them in our thoughts. And it's easy to get lazy. It's really easy to get intellectually lazy and just convince yourself that you deserve to just let somebody else do your thinking for you. And it can be dangerous. Basically, that's what we're doing when we're taking in all kinds of forms of entertainment rather than thinking thoughts upon the Word of God and upon the ways of God. And I'm guilty of the same thing. I'm going to stop there tonight, and we'll continue with temperance of mind and heart, and then this leads right into temperance of the body, how you are to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we'll proceed to that next week, but this is a good place for me to stop tonight.